Chapter 14, Trial of the Broken Blade. Withersteel, 600 SMC. The sound of hammers falling on steel laid over anvils rang out in a harmonious cacophony. Sixo stood over his workbench, sliding his newly formed sword down the whetstone. His long red hair was pulled back in a ponytail to keep it from distracting him as he worked. The inkling of precision wriggled beneath his chest as he slid steel against stone. The word allowed him to see any imperfections in the blade as he worked. When the sounds of steel being worked breathed around him, he found it incredibly easy to concentrate. The whoosh and hiss of heated metal being plunged into water made him feel at peace. He held the blade up in the air and studied it in the light. Sipping from his Oisha, he checked for anything that didn't belong. Smiling, Sixo set the blade down. His hand ran along the metal and stopped over the tang, resting on the smoothed and rounded metal. There were some blacksmiths in the kingdom who used magic for the entire process. Sixthos preferred to rely on the old ways, while using the words of power to perfect his work. In his mind, the modern smithing never yielded the same results. Opening a drawer from one of the desks, he removed a strip of leather. Grabbing a paintbrush, he dipped it into the communal pot of hide glue. Beneath the pot raged a fire geist housed in a glass cube. The spirits of those few Lakesies who had reached Pentotes were to be respected, but those of Withersteel believed the best way to honor a blacksmith was to ensure they aided in the craft in the afterlife as well. Sixthos lay down in even coat as he brought the brush back and forth over the leather strap. He held the leather in his hand, the inkling of fire stirred to life on his back as a flameless heat seeped from his hands. This allowed the glue to remain malleable much longer than it would otherwise. Careful to align it perfectly, Sixthos slowly wrapped the leather around the tang. After ensuring a tight fit, he called the heat back into his hands, cooling the glue and sealing the bond. His connection to the Uishio was minimal, and his knowledge of each word was only a few chapters deep, but they served him well. A smile spread across his face as he grabbed the grip in his right hand and raised the sword above his head. "That's a fine blade, boy." "Thank you, sir," he offered the blade to his master. "Who's it for?" Horace asked as he studied the blade, turning it over in his hand and angling it towards the sun. "Myself." Sixthos had had to work fast, wanting to make sure he was done with the blade before the man could question him. "Why do you need a new?" His master's words trailed off as he lowered the blade and stared at him. "You're thinking about the damn trial again, aren't you?" "It's my right, Horace. The same as anyone's." "You've nothing to prove, Sixthos." "But I have a name to earn." The people of Withersteel only seemed concerned with two things, smithing and the legacy of their surnames. Everyone had to earn their moniker, and none came freely. Most carried the names their ancestors earned for their bloodline until they could earn their own. Sixthos was not so lucky. He had no surname. His grandmother had found company among the Nichta Regnamidas, and gave birth to his mother in the City of Glass. As she aged, his mother was sought after for whatever children she bore would possess the marked child's blood and a connection to the Uisha. A Nichta who could wield the words of power was a rare thing. Because of this, she was abused routinely. When she gave birth to Sixthos, she fled, unwilling to risk what the mundane might do with her child. The gates of Withersteel welcomed them in, but they spent most of Sixthos' life in squalor. Growing up had been difficult. Though his mother was as dark as the blacksmith they now lived with, Sixthos' skin was much lighter, an inheritance from his father. That, coupled with the red hair and violet eyes, set him apart from the others. Things had looked up for a little while. A young Itzali knight had seen some promise in him, and he had started to train as a boy. Sadly, The knight had no means to pay for the boy, and the blacksmiths were desperate for fresh hands. The decision had been made for his mother, it seemed. She sold his servitude to Horace and disappeared. Knowing nothing of his father, and considering his mother's questionable lineage, he was left without a name. Most had simply adopted to calling him No Surname. The title had stuck. "You are named after a legend. When people see you, they are reminded of the Hammer Fist. I cannot afford to lose another apprentice to the trials." The very streets and buildings of Withersteel had been forged from stone and steel by the Lord of Craftsmen, Lathos, when he was a man. Because of this, the smiths in this land believed that the only one fit to rule was the greatest blacksmith among them. In order to ensure this tradition was upheld, the king's sword was tested against challengers' blades every year. Whomever thought they had claim to the title of the greatest among them would craft a sword to contend with. The trial was truly a spectacle. The blades were given to proxy fighters who moved with grace. Some trials lasted days, while others were over in hours. Whoever's blade did not shatter would be the victor. If it was a challenger who won, the throne would be theirs come tomorrow. "Lathos willing, I will be smithing in the royal forge before tomorrow's eve." Sixthos secured the sword and the scabbard at his hip before turning back to his master. "Do you have more use for me today?" Horace stood there with his arms crossed, shaking his head softly. "Go on home, Sixthos," the blacksmith said as he pointed an arm out of the smithing ring. "Clear your head and think true and hard before making your decision." Sixthos nodded and departed. He didn't need to clear his head. His decision was made. He'd been preparing for the trials for years, honing his craft and practicing daily, until he was competent that his blade could survive the test. He only had one chance at this, after all. Making his way home, his stomach roared in agony as the smell of smoking beef and freshly raised bread assaulted his nostrils. The walk was tempting. Going through the market was the quickest route, but the smells always invaded his senses. Had he the coin to spare, it would have been an easy decision, but his orders had been short this week, as had his givings. In a moment of will, he thought better of it, for he still had bread at home. If it can even be considered bread anymore, Sixthos thought as he made it to his door. Opening the door, he was met with the one-story room that an entire life had been crammed into. His mattress lay off to one side, hugging the wall. It was simple and comfortable enough. Opposite sat a mirror, hanging above two water basins, a simple fire pit to the left, and a waste hole further down. The small hollow of a house he had acquired always glared him in the face when he returned from work. All things considered, he'd done quite well for himself. Compared to his early years of living on the street, he was quite lucky. Sighing, he took the band off of his hair and unfurled the ponytail. Dipping a rag into the first basin, he wiped his face and forehead, scrubbing his hands clean. He stared at his reflection in the mirror. His auburn hair and violet eyes contrasted heavily against his dark complexion. He was a mutt. Part Nichta, part blacksmith, all bastard. He wasn't even as dark as those around him, a mixed breed with light and skin. Nor did he wear the ceremonial markings adorned by his people. The Scarotipa had been denied him, for he was considered, as of yet, undeserving. No surname, and no veered marks. His aim was to change all of that. Drying his hands, Sixthos grabbed hold of the bread that he had kept for weeks. Biting into it, he grimaced as it crumbled in his mouth. It was stale and flavorless. He grabbed a larger piece and dipped it into the second basin. As he put the slosh into his mouth, he felt himself fighting a sickly feeling. The texture and the bland flavor mixed into a disastrous combination. Sixthos gripped the edge of the counter and forced himself to swallow. It was unappetizing, to say the least, but it would forestall his hunger until the morning. With the bread he could spare eaten, he made his way to bed. A steady thumping resonated through the shallow walls and woke Sixthos from his slumber. It was the drums of the king summoning. Jumping out of bed quickly and securing the newly forged sword around his waist, Sixthos headed out the door and towards the castle. By the time he arrived, the doors were open and the main room was filled. At the center sat the king on his throne, surrounded by three men. The knight to the side of the king held his blade in both hands, tip touching the floor. The sword seemed unscathed. Before them stood another outsally knight and the challenger. That blade was shattered. Sixthos' eyes were drawn to the king. Bok Stonewide stood shorter than most in the kingdom, but was by far the stockiest man they had seen in ages. His matted brown beard was braided with 20 steel beads, hair running past his neck. His face was carved and scarred with multiple groups of concentric circles. One group started at the tip of his nose and spread back to his ears. Two more formed from the center of his cheeks to the edges of his face. One began at the top of his forehead, while yet another stemmed from the bottom of his chin. Many of the circles connected and crossed to form a unique and bizarre look. Every circle on his face was filled in with steel. Some people claimed his shoulders were so big simply from having to keep his face up all day. The steel that filled his beard marks came from the broken blades of every challenger who had faced him. While the beads represented every trial that he had survived, a mixture of every blade that had fallen that year. No king had ever been marked as many times as Bok. They never made it this far. The king leaned over and pulled a piece from the broken sword that laid scattered before the man and the Atsali knight. Bok held the piece into the light and stared at it for a moment, considering. He sighed and shrugged, lowering the piece before staring back at the man before him. "You have lost the trial of the broken blade," the king began. "From this day on, you shall wear your broken sword at your hip, so that all may see that you challenged and that you lost. You will melt this shard and prepare it for the marksmiths for the Skerotipa. This act shall be the last smithing you conduct in this kingdom. After that, you will be banished as a blacksmith." The man deflated, his head bowing slightly. "It is a shame, Yaldwin. You crafted a fine blade," Bok said as he handed the piece to the man. "But only the finest shall rule."
"Only the finest shall rule,"
everyone's voices echoed. The Atsali knight turned to Yaldwin and handed him the broken sword. With shaky hands, the man secured it at his hip and departed, a sunken shell of the man who had arrived. The knight who had represented the challenger rejoined the crowd. The man beside the king rotated the sword in his hand so that it now pointed towards the sky. "Is there any more among you who wish to challenge the king?" There was silence and tension, a buzzing anticipation that warmed its way through the crowd. "I do." In unison, the congregation turned towards Sixthos. "What is your name, boy?" the king asked as the crowd parted, creating a tunnel between the two of them. "Sixthos," he managed. The king stared at him, expectantly. "I have no surname. I intend to earn one." "A valiant reason to challenge your king," Bok responded, smiling. "The Atsali knight will fight for me again," the man said as he inclined his hand towards the knight. "Who here shall fight on behalf of Sixthos?" The king's chambers were quiet. No one moved, and no one spoke. "I will stand for myself," Sixthos said as he unsheathed his sword and moved forward. "Very well. Swift feet," Bok said with a nod towards the knight. At the name, Sixthos looked over at the man. His mind had been racing too much before. He knew the knight. They had started their training together. The Atsali smiled as a wave of recognition walked over Sixthos' face. "It has been some time, brother," the man said as he approached. They got close and bowed to one another. "That's a fine-looking blade. Let's hope you are a better blacksmith than a sparer." Swiftfeet's voice was low, but had a jovial tone to it. Sixthos was the only one who could hear him. "If that were true, my sword would surely win," he cracked a smile. "Then I would have walloped my new king more times than I can count," Swiftfeet asked, his smile widening. "I can live with that." The two readied their swords and started to move in a small circle. This was different than the practicing they had done so many years ago. Their duel would aim to entertain the masses, but they wouldn't be trying to strike each other, but rather, clang the swords against each other as many times as possible. "Lathos willing, please let mine be the one that's left standing." I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Please check in next episode for chapter 15, Marked for Life. And as always, the song I used was Fluid Skate by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.